Well, Johnny could hardly sing at that stage. It was towards the end of his life. Passing through there, Earl Scruggs with Don Henley and Johnny Cash. I'm going to keep this album handy. I should have had it years ago. It's a couple of years old. Earl Scruggs and Friends. It's just arrived from Tennessee this morning out on MCA Records. And more than a medical flavour to the programme today, because let's get a look at this whole issue of alternative therapy, because I understand many of Britain's leading doctors have urged the NHS Trust to stop using complementary or so-called complementary alternative therapies and to pay up only on their budgets for medicine which they deem to be based on solid evidence. It's a big letter. It was reproduced in the Times. They've written to many of the NHS trusts to voice their concerns. These are not trivial matters, say the many professors and Professor Emeritus. We urge you to take an opportunity to review the practice in your own trust and with a view to ensuring that patients do not receive misleading information about the effectiveness of alternative medicines. One of the signatories to the letter from the University College London is Professor David Cahoon. Professor, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
David, tell me, what's your primary concern here?
Well, the primary concern is really about evidence and effectiveness. It's really nothing to do with complementary or otherwise. It's to do with whether you know the stuff works or whether you don't.
Simple as that. And I mean, you see, your certainty for what you might call mainstream medicine. Have you nothing to say for alternative therapy, complementary therapy, and the many millions who have benefited from it?
Well, I contest that last statement. That many millions have benefited from it. I don't think that's demonstrably true. It's probably untrue. The point is that there's a double standard operating. You see, in order to get conventional treatment, Septin, or one that's in the news a lot at the moment, it has to go through all sorts of hoops. It has to be tested for safety. It has to be tested for, in particular, to show that it actually does work. And when its cost is taken into account too, and the human side of it, it may be cleared. On the other hand, the homeopathic treatments, which of course are mislabeled because they don't actually contain anything anyway, I just wave through with no form of assessment. That's the double standard. All we're asking is that one standard be applied to treatments wherever they come from.
But isn't there a difficulty, Professor, always with the notion of certainty? Goodness, we know that in this part of the world. I mean, and medicine rarely is a matter of certainty. And surely, even on the fringe of the mainstream, there's room for an alternative.
Certainty. Everything's probability in the end, but the probability that aspirin has an analgesic effect is very high. The probability that it's small doses of aspirin are good for your cardiovascular system, low-dose aspirin treatment, is very high. The probability that homeopathy works is very low. that sums it up in a nutshell, I think.
Have you ever tried it? Have you ever tried about a St. John's wort or some of these matters?
Well, St. John's wort is very limited indication for non-severe depression, and I don't suffer from that, so I haven't tried it, no.
And would you?
On the contrary, I'm quite cheerful.
Good, and long may you be so, but would you be ever... imagine if you were in a medical situation. I'm not trying to personalise this, ridiculously, but if you find yourself and your colleagues saying, look, we really have nothing for you here, David, why don't you try this or that route or this therapy? We understand many have benefited from it.
Well, I don't think a good doctor would say that last bit of the sentence anyway. Yes. There is a genuine dilemma here. Let's suppose, as is almost certainly the case, that homeopathy has nothing but a placebo effect, or a reflexologist massaging your feet has no specific effect, in the sense that the so-called theories behind these things are just a gobbledygook, which is almost certainly the case. Nevertheless, if you ask patients and they say they feel better after the reflexologist has massaged their feet, you can very well maintain, and you'd be dead right, I think, that if they say they feel better, that's good for them, whether it's a placebo effect or not.
But the massage thing, I think, is a bit of a howler. But I mean, anybody rubs my feet, I automatically feel better. Whether or not that's seen as therapy or not, I mean, it's great to get your feet rubbed.
Well, that's absolutely the case, you see. You don't have to have all this mumbo-jumbo that is behind reflexologists. What you just need is a masseur. And that's absolutely fine. That can be provided by the health service. Perhaps they should be doing more so. But what they shouldn't be doing is employing reflexologists who pretend that the big toe is connected to the kidney and all sorts of garbage like that.
Interesting. Joining me in the studio.
You can get the same beneficial placebo effect without lying.
Professor, stay where you are 1 second. Joining me in the studio from the local, just a well-known local shop, Sante, Charles Mullen. Charles, good afternoon to you. Are you in the business of peddling gobbledygook, to quote Professor Calhoun there?
No, we're in the health food business for 23 years.
Yes. And do you get this? A lot of people... These questions are difficult, I feel. Charles, what's your baseline for what you do? What's your baseline understanding for some of the alternative foods that people are encouraged to eat and alternative remedies and approaches? Because they go millennia back in this part of the world.
Well, speaking of about food, first of all, many illnesses don't come out of the air and land on people's bodies for no reason. Most of them are caused by a lifetime of the wrong lifestyle, most usually the wrong diet. Mm. It's futile for a person to be taking treatment for a problem and still eating the food that's causing the problem.
Simple as that?
Yes.
Give me an example.
Well, arthritis, for instance, which is the same family as migraine and gout, they are all caused by a buildup of toxins in the body due to the wrong diet. And there's a list of things which we have in the shop, which we give to the customers coming into us, a list of foodstuffs and drinks that they must avoid.
Such as?
Well, all forms of red meat, not sausages, bacon, pork and ham, dairy products, tea and coffee, alcohol, and white flour, white bread, white sugar.
See, some of that sounds like good sense to me. In their place, what would you... I was going to say prescribe. You're not a qualified prescriptionary doctor, Charles, but if you were... a patient come into you, or a person came, like myself, said, look, Charles, a wee bit of arthritis, what would be one of the more unusual things that you might offer me, or suggest?
Well, you get a combination of glucosamine and chondroitin, and the glucosamine helps to rebuild the cartilage, tendons and ligaments, and it counteracts arthritis and osteoporosis. And
what was that again? I mean, that sounded like medicine to me.
No, it's a herbal treatment. Glucosamine and chondroitin lubricates the pads and helps to eliminate the jarring and the pain. But it's effective, provided the person also takes the dietary advice that goes with it.
Yes, and do you just have a strong impression that that works on? Because are you basing, you know, when you come up with herbal remedies or herbal treatments or dietary treatments, are you largely hoping they work?
No. As I said earlier, there were 23 years in business, and the people come back all the time. Like, just before I rushed out of the shop here today to come up to you, I had a state registered nurse in for different... different products for herself and her brother, her husband.
Yes.
And she wouldn't have anything else. She's a state registered nurse.
Professor Calhoun, has this man been wasting his time for 23 years?
Well, let's start at the beginning. Good diet is very important. There's been a lot of talk about that recently. There's been action in schools following Jamie Oliver's initiative to improve the diet of kids. Kids are getting fat because they have a bad diet. On the other hand, I detect several things that I wouldn't agree with at all in what was just said. There's not the slightest reason to believe that arthritis results from toxins that build up in the body. Glucosamine is not herbal, and neither is chondroitin. I mean, there's full of, furthermore, experiments of trials have been done, and glucosamine doesn't actually help arthritis, whatever the impression of some of the customers was.
Yeah, but who's to know how those bones... Who's
to know? But the facts in that statement, many of them were wrong, I'm afraid.
Charles?
And the painkillers, as prescribed by the medical profession, like all prescription drugs...
Sorry?
Like most prescription drugs, the body becomes immune to them after a few weeks. It doesn't matter whether it's tranquilizers or painkillers or sleeping tablets or antibiotics. The body builds up a defense against them. The word is immunity. In the case of painkillers as prescribed by the medical profession for arthritis, not only are they useless after a few weeks, I have 23 years of people coming in and telling me that, who were on them, but not only are they useless after a few weeks, they are very severe on the liver and kidneys, and they all cause bleeding ulcers. At the end of the day, not only does the person still have the original problem, namely arthritis, they've now got these other problems caused by the painkillers or anti-inflammatories.
Professor?
Right. Well, yes, you're right. Some classes of analgesics, non-steroidal analgesics, can cause stomach bleeding, though I never had much trouble from them myself. The best surgery, of course, in the case of hips, the best thing is surgery. I've got two artificial hips myself, so I know about this personally. And I, in fact, never got much obvious benefit from the conventional painkillers, to tell you the truth.
So what did you?
You wouldn't get any benefit from yours either. So
What did you turn to then?
I just waited. I got the surgery.
Surgery?
Mm.
And the healing process, the natural healing process?
An artificial hip's an absolutely brilliantly successful operation.
Fantastic. David, I mean, surely though, with the millennia that we've been about as entities, as a species, surely our interaction with herbs and foodstuffs and seaweeds like we have in this part of the world, we were talking on this programme a couple of weeks back about this wonderful seaweed, I can't remember, but people were swearing by this seaweed I mean, it strikes me that all that predated the kind of medicine in which you're professionally qualified, and surely to goodness, the old folk and the received wisdom of millennia of people living and dying, you know, on planet Earth, surely there's something in it.
Well, there's something in bits of it. You know, many things like digitalis, digoxin for heart failure comes from plants, and it's been extracted and standardized, and very good it is too. Many conventional drugs have come from plants. See, there's a little problem here, because alternative medicine is almost by definition not working, because as soon as something's tested and found to work, it gets assimilated into the mainstream and it's no longer alternative. What's left is the unverified stuff, I'm afraid, how it seems to work.
Charles, a final word from both of you gentlemen. Did you ever get a wee bit miffed with people casting sort of less than belief upon your practice and upon this whole notion of diet and alternative approaches? Do you ever get a bit annoyed about that?
No. All the time, every day, people come back and thank us for the relief that they got from coming into our shop, both from the advice and the treatment, the product that they got, and the dietary advice that they got, with, not just with arthritis, but several other problems. Mm. And they come back, and their friends and their relatives all come back to us all the time.
And you'll be selling for another 23 years.
Well, hopefully.
Professor, a final word. You're standing your ground here, and your professionally qualified colleagues, this letter, you're standing over your ground.
Yes, I think we are. You know, all we ask is that all treatments that are given to patients are judged by the same standard. That seems a very reasonable thing to ask, but it's not the case at the moment.
Well, thank you both for joining us. It's certainly an interesting consideration. And listeners, as always, gentlemen, will make up their own mind on these matters. Thank you both.
Thank you.
On the line there from the University College London, that's Professor